Good afternoon and welcome to the September 9th, 2007 edition of Sunday House Call. I'm Dr. Barry Dworkin. We're broadcasting live on 1070 CFAX in Victoria, 1290 CFRW in Winnipeg, 1050 CHUM in Toronto, AM 800 CKLW in Windsor, and from the studios of News Talk Radio 580 CFRA here in Ottawa. And coming up in about a half an hour from now, we're going to be talking to Rob Wilson. He's an advanced care paramedic and director of media relations at the Professional Paramedic Association of Ottawa. He's going to be talking about what it is to be a paramedic, what is involved, how do you train to become a paramedic, what do they do, and I also have some questions about what they would like to do in their role. Are there other things that they have been trained for that they would like to do more of? And so I want to give a good idea, good presentation to our listeners about the area of paramedics and paramedicine, and to really give people an idea as well that these are not just people driving ambulances. These are people that are saving people's lives and making a huge difference. So that coming up in about a half an hour from now. We'll be taking your calls at 1-800-580-2372 in our second hour. And coming up right now, we'll be speaking to Dr. Mary Lee Fullerton about actually something that we'll bring up in just one moment. And that thing is a statement of claim that has been filed by the Canadian Constitution Foundation against the Ontario government over timely access to healthcare and the patient's right to access healthcare outside of Ontario's government-run healthcare system. The claim supports two Ontarians who had successful surgery to remove brain tumors but who had to pay for the workup and the surgery in the United States. And joining us today, I'm pleased to introduce Dr. Mary Lee Fullerton, who's a Kanata family physician in practice for about 20 years. Her area is advocating for patients and patient care. She was present at the press conference in Toronto and participated in the press conference in Toronto regarding this statement of claim and joins us this afternoon. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Dr. Dworkin.
Go right ahead.
Well, you know, it was really interesting to be at the press conference and hear one of the plaintiffs' case, and also to see the press response as well. But this is a very important statement of claim, and if you understand patients and the way they have to go through the system, you'll understand the significance of it. And unfortunately, a lot of people don't end up being on the receiving end of care. With advanced knowledge, it just happens. Mm-hmm. And then they are left in a situation where they have to try and get through it in some unfortunate circumstances.
Now, before we get to the plaintiff's case, can you tell us a bit about the Canadian Constitution Foundation? I know you're not a member of them, but rather just who they are and what is its mission statement?
Sure. The CCF is the Canadian Constitution Foundation, and it is a not-for-profit, independent, registered charitable foundation that has at its focus protecting and defending constitutional freedoms of Canadians. And it does this in a number of ways. It does it through educational programs, various communications, and as this statement of claim shows, through litigation as well.
Now, who are the plaintiffs in this case?
There are two. The first plaintiff was a gentleman, a 66-year-old retired auto body shop owner, Lindsay McCreath, and you can find this on a search engine. It's Lindsay McCreath, capital M-C, capital C-R-E-I-T-C-H. And, you know, you can even see videos of him discussing and his wife discussing their issues. He's a fellow from Newmarket, and back in about January 2006, he experienced sudden onset of seizures, in which he was diagnosed eventually as a brain tumor. The other plaintiff is a 43-year-old self-employed mother of two whose name is Shona Holmes, and that's H-O-L-M-E-S, and she's 43 and found herself unable to access the care that she felt and her family felt that she needed in the Ontario system.
Can you provide some of the details about the two plaintiffs in terms of how they came about their diagnosis and their trail through the healthcare system? What is it they encountered, and what was it that led to them seeking redress in the United States?
Sure. You know, stay with me on this, Barry, because if I start to go down a tangent, you can bring me back.
Okay.
Because the details are fairly complicated. Mr. McCreath, as I mentioned, had a sudden onset of seizures. He was taken to hospital. He was diagnosed on a by a CT as having a brain tumor. And at that point, he was told he had a brain tumor, put on some anti-seizure medication, and it was going to be, he wanted an MRI to help determine whether or not this was cancerous, mm-hmm. Whether it was malignant or benign, at which point the internist involved refused to order one and put him on the list. He then went to his family physician, who put him on a wait list, which was going to be 4.5 months to get the MRI. He even went through the hospital's patient advocate for assistance and hoped to get the MRI arranged that way, but he never got access that way either. So eventually, he went to Buffalo to get an MRI. He paid for it privately and found out that he did in fact have a malignant brain tumor. So then he felt that it was possible he could, sitting with a brain tumor, he found out that it was going to be months for a specialist referral back in Ontario, mm-hmm. at which point he decided to have his surgery. You know, he was told that it was a good idea for him to have his surgery. They didn't know the type of tumor at the time. If it was an aggressive type of tumor, then by the time he waited in Ontario, you know, his life was at risk.
Mm-hmm.
So he went ahead and had the surgery. It turned out that it was a grade 2 astrocytoma, which is still, you know, fairly treatable. And this was all done in Buffalo. And within a week, he'd had this done. Now, unfortunately, had the delay been as long as what was going to be required in Ontario, the tumor could have advanced and could have spread, becoming a class 4 tumor, mm-hmm. which would have a much poorer prognosis. So the whole process that Mr. McCreath was able to go through took about 4 weeks instead of 8 months. And at the time that he was going through this, he did not have knowledge necessarily of the pre-approval process required. So mm-hmm. after this was all done, he had to go back to the government and say, you know, can I get a portion or some of this covered? And they said, you did not have pre-approval. You cannot get any of it covered. And the unfortunate part is the pre-approval process itself mm-hmm. was very likely to have taken several months. And since he did not have the permission to leave the country for his treatments, even though the approval process could have taken many months and risked his life, he has had to pay a significant amount of money for his own care, which the government of Ontario refuses to reimburse.
And for the other plaintiff, she had a very similar experience, my understanding.
Yeah, you know, she had a longstanding history of endocrine problems. But the reality is she was losing her sight. And she had requested to see a specialist in Ontario, again, which the wait was going to be quite long for. And she was losing her vision. She eventually ended up heading down to the States, having an MRI done. And it showed that she did have a tumor near the pituitary gland, which was pressing on her optic nerves, causing her headaches and visual disturbances. And she went back hoping that with the MRI information that she had done in the U.S., that this would be enough for her specialists in Canada, in Ontario, to take care of the matter. However, that didn't happen. She was forced to wait for specialists many months. And meanwhile, her vision continued to deteriorate, at which point she decided she couldn't risk anything further. The specialists in the U.S., including specialists that had trained in Ontario and Canada, were suggesting to her that to preserve her sight and possibly to preserve her life, that mm-hmm. she should have the surgery done as soon as possible. And she went ahead and had that done at the Mayo Clinic after she tried so many avenues in Ontario to get the care she needed. She has mentioned at the press conference that her own family doctor spent many, many hours advocating on her behalf, trying to move her up the list, trying to get specialist appointments for her. And again, she was, even the specialists in the U.S. were trying to get her care back in Ontario in a timely way, and they were not successful. And when she had the surgery done at the Mayo Clinic, within 10 days, her vision was fully restored, and she was much better. But, you know, the unfortunate part with all of this is not only the weight, the difficulties in accessing, the uncertainties, but, you know, the strain and stress financially, emotionally on the family and her, obviously.
When we come back, we're talking to Dr. Fullerton about the statement of claim now and what exactly they are trying to state in court, some of the aspects of the healthcare system with regards to these two particular plaintiffs and the problems that they experienced, the life-threatening problems that they experienced. So we're going to get into that and some of the details of that so that we have a broader understanding of some of the issues that are facing not just these two people, but I'm sure many people and many of our listeners have experienced in the course of using our healthcare system. I'm Dr. Barry Dworkin. You're listening to Sunday House Call.